have your Bibles. I do appreciate the privilege to be here today, and do again kind of an honor for Brother Nichols to ask us to preach today. And I appreciate the church and Brother Nichols getting the Jubilee started back, getting it revived back. I appreciate that. And it's always been a good meeting. We've always enjoyed coming here. If you have your Bibles, turn, if you will, to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I just want to give you a little thought here, and sometimes I really get stirred up when I get preaching. I don't know, this may not stir us a whole lot, but it'll be a help to us. It'll give us comfort and give us some encouragement, and we'll listen to it. And boy, I sure did enjoy the good preaching last night and all day yesterday. That's tremendous, outstanding messages, and I really appreciate them. And just to appreciate being here and see some folk we haven't saw for some time. It's just such a joy. I want to look at verse 14 and verse 15 in 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 14 and verse 15. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. I realize that this is a covenant that God is making with David. He is talking about David here as he makes this statement. But at the same time, I do believe that there is something for us here as well. As it has said yesterday, I think it was, that all of the Scripture, all the Bible is not necessarily wrote to us, right to us, but it is for us. I do believe in dispensational truth and so forth. But I do believe there's applications to be made from Scripture such as this that we read in your hearing here this morning. And so I want to preach on this thought for just a few moments, and I'll watch my time. For just a few moments, I want to preach on this thought, up and down, but never out.
Amen.
Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down, but thank God I'm still heaven bound.
Amen.
Sometimes we take a lot of knocks, a lot of licking, a lot of blows. I've been knocked down a few times, but I ain't never been knocked out.
Amen.
Amen. And over the 53 years that I've tried to serve the Lord, there's been a lot of downs. Got knocked down a few times, but thank God I've always got up.
Amen.
Don't have to stay down if we get knocked down. Amen. Thank God for that. So I want to just develop a little thought here and just give you some little thoughts here on this as I look at this scripture. I thought that the only place you can find assurance of salvation is in the Word of God.
Yeah,
amen. Now, I do believe in eternal security, and we're going to deal a little bit with this, and I hope you don't get upset. I hope everybody here is a Baptist through Baptist. But if you believe that you can lose your salvation, in reality you believe that your salvation is by works. Because you believe somehow your works, what you are doing, how you are performing, keeps you saved. That if you do something wrong or some way, then you are lost and you've lost. And I asked one person that believed that. I said, tell me this. Have you ever sinned since you got saved? said, yeah. I said, then you tell me what sin you have to commit to lose your salvation.
Amen.
Amen. So, reality, if we believe that, then we believe that we are saved by works. But we know that we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. That's how you got saved. That's how you're staying saved. It's by the grace of God. I am, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. So let me give you three thoughts real quick. First of all, we are saved into the family of the Father. We are saved into the family of the Father. Look at verse 14. I will be His Father, and He shall be my son. Amen. I thought the New Testament, as Christians, we sometimes we're called a servant, and we are servants. I do believe in the Lordship of Christ. If He is your Savior, then He is your Lord. Amen. And Paul many times called himself a servant of Jesus Christ. A bond slave. A doulos, if you please. A bond slave to Jesus Christ. If you're saved, we are servants. Then we are also called soldiers. And we are soldiers. We are in a battle. If you don't realize that, you better realize that we are in a war. So we're called soldiers, and then also we are called saints. Now, we may not act like saints, but we are saints. And you don't become a saint after you die and somebody makes you a saint. Amen. If you're saved, you're a saint. Amen. We're called saints. And then we're called sheep. I kind of like that analogy there, that terminology there. Sheep, we're sheep. He's a shepherd. He's our good shepherd. And we're just a sheep, and we're just following along the shepherd, man. He's providing for us. He's taking care of us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So forth. So I like being a sheep. Shepherd just bouncing along behind the shepherds. We believe it's a good shepherd. I think the most beautiful phrase in the Bible that we're called are sons of God.
Amen.
Just to think this morning that you and I, we are the sons of God. I bless the day that I got born into God's family. I'm in God's family. You may not like me, but you have to accept me because I'm in your family. Woo! Now I'm loud and I get stirred up. Sometimes I get walking pews. I take two laps around the building, but I ain't got time to do it. But when I get thinking about being in the family of God,
amen,
it stirs my soul.
Amen.
I've got born again. I was in the wrong family. I was in the devil's family. I was a child of the devil. But on the last Sunday of August, 1961, I got born again. Woo! Hallelujah! I got born in the God family. Like what Brother Mitchell says, the devil's not my 42nd cousin. I got out of this family. Praise God, I got out of this family, and I got in God's family. got born again. I got born into the Cole family, April the 25th, 1945. Now you know how old I am. I'm getting old. Don't remember a thing in the world about that birth. I've been told I was born on a stormy night. Back when I was born, we were born at home. It had midwives. My dad tried to go across the creek, drove down across the creek where the midwife, her name was Mrs. Chamberlain, where she lived, across the creek, and the storm had gotten up, the creek had gotten up, and the bridge had got washed out. So dad could not go get her, and so he come back to the house and delivered me himself. Little 5-pound young'un. Lord, what happened? So a stormy night, a rainy night, and I've been told it was April the 25th, 1945. Don't know a thing about that day, but I sure know about that second night. I sure know about that, and as it's been said, too late to come and tell me now that it didn't happen. Well, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know.
Amen.
But let me give you this, and I'm moving on to the second left off. If you'll notice, of course, first of all, when we're born into a natural family, first of all, we take on the Father's name. I took on my dad's name. My dad was named James Thomas Cole. I took on my dad's last name, Cole. And I'm proud to be a Cole. We've got some outlaws in it, but we've got some pretty good folk in our family. Hey, amen. I'm proud to be a Cole. So I took on. When I got born in the God's family, I took on God's name.
Amen.
We're called Christians.
Yeah.
Christ-like.
Amen.
The disciples were called Christians. First out of there. Then there's something else. Not only do we take on our Father's name, but we take on our Father's nature. Some boys look a whole, I look quite a bit like my dad. I look more like my grandpa than I do my dad. But anyway, some boys looks a lot like their dad. Guess what? They even walk. I walk like my grandpa, but they walk like their dad. Why? Because they got the nature. And when we get born into God's family, we take on His nature.
Amen.
We walk like God walks. We follow God.
Amen.
We walk in the light as He is in the light. So we have taken on God's name. So first of all, I see in this little fault here, I say first of all, we are saved into God's family. I'm glad to be in God's family, aren't you? Glad to be part of God's family. Glad I'm in the family. And I thought this, and I got to move on. All through the Old Testament, you'll find family, family is family, time and time. But only one time in the New Testament, we all know that. Only one time in the New Testament, you'll find the word family. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, and about verse 14, 15. I bow my knees before the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family is named in heaven and in earth. Whom the whole family. Only one time that it's mentioned in the New Testament, family is in that verse of Scripture, and the reason why is because God has only one family.
one family. If you're saved, you're in it. If you're not saved, you're not in it. Amen. If you're not saved, you can get in it by the grace of God. Hallelujah. But I'm glad I'm in God's family.
Amen.
That whole family is named in heaven and in earth. I've got family on both sides.
Amen.
The older I get, the more family I've got up there. But someday we're going to be back together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All the family will get there. All the family. I like family reunions. I come from a big family. There was 9 of us and been 12 that all lived. And I like families got big families. And I like to be in fellowship with families that got big family. But hallelujah, I'm in the biggest family of all. And that's God's family. And one of these days, glory to God, we're going to all be together as the family of God. But we need to get along down here like family. And man, I can't preach all this. But we're saved in the family of God. The family of the Father. Let me give you the second little thought here. I thought this. Let me give you this. God's children don't always act like God's children. Sometimes we act like children. Don't get our way, we'll blow up like a big bullfrog. But let me tell you, say this. We are not God's son by performance, but we are God's son by decision. I don't perform well. Paul said this, he said in Romans 7:18, for to will, his will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find it not. I don't perform well sometimes. You don't perform well sometimes. God probably ought to just kick us out of the family, but He don't.
Amen.
But He don't. Second thought, we can sin out of fellowship. Born, saved into the family. We can sin out of fellowship. Does not affect our fellowship with the Father. Sin. We can sin out of fellowship with the Father. It does not affect our relationship. But it does affect our fellowship. Sin will affect our fellowship. Look at what it says here again. He says, I'll be his father, and he shall be my son, if he commits iniquity, I will chasten him. Salvation is not perfection. I wish it was. I wish when we got saved we would be perfect and we would never sin again. Because I hate sin.
Amen.
I hate sin in my life, in my own life. I hate sin in the lives of people in the church, sin in the church, the nation, everything. I hate sin with a passion. But you and I are not perfect. I don't see nobody got no halo on this morning. We are not perfect. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But thank God, if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says, if he commits iniquity. Little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if, God knows we will. Knew we will. But if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Thank God for His forgiveness. It doesn't give us license to sin whatsoever. But I'm glad that God does not kick us out and throw us out of the family just because we've sinned against God. He says, I will chastise him.
Yeah.
You can rest assured if you're saved by the grace of God. Listen, a Christian is not someone that cannot sin. They can sin,
yeah,
but they will not enjoy sin.
Right.
If you enjoy sin in your life, then there's something wrong, bad wrong. You can enjoy sin in your life. So it's not the fact we cannot sin, but we'll not enjoy sin. And I'm glad if we'll come, we'll confess, he'll forgive. But I thought this, if you are a child of God, and you get in a rebellious way with God, walking contrary, God, he will chastise you. As his child. God don't whip the devil's children. But God's not going to let you get by with sin. He's not going to let me get by with sin. He will chastise us. He will chastise you.
Amen.
And I believe a lot of things that happens, and I'm not no judge, and I'm not saying this is always true. I believe a lot of things that happen, like Brother Epps was talking earlier, no doubt, it's chastisement of God. You can't walk away from God and turn your back on God if you're truly saved by the grace of God and not expect the chastising of God's hand to be upon you.
Amen.
He that he loveth, he chastens and scourges every son that he receives. If we are without chastisement, we're not his. We don't belong to him.
Right. Amen.
And so he says here, if he sins, I will chasten him. God will chasten you. You can sin as a Christian out of fellowship with God. Sin will break fellowship between you and God. It does not affect that relationship we have with God. He doesn't kick us out of the family. Just like he don't kick your kids out of the family when they disobey. But you will correct them. If you're the right parent that you ought to be, you will correct them. It bothers me today to see the parents, what all they let their kids get by with. It's amazing. I've done some things that some kids do today. I'd still be picking myself up off the ground somewhere if I could find all the pieces. Hey, man. I don't believe in child abuse. Don't misunderstand. But I believe you're done them a dishonor when you don't correct them in the way they need to be corrected. So we can. Then let me give you the last thing. I'm through. Three little old thoughts here. Just a little old scripture tucked away there in the Old Testament that really, I think, just speaks a volume to our hearts. Thank God to be in this family. Glad for the day. I'm glad for the day that I got born again. Got into God's family. And I know God loves me, and I know he'll chasten me and correct me. Sin get in my life, things in there that don't belong. He'll take those out. But I do believe this. I believe the most miserable person on this earth is a Christian out of fellowship with God. He can't enjoy the world, the things of the world, if he knows God. And he can't have fellowship with God and enjoy the things of God because he's not in fellowship with God. I think he's the most miserable person there is. Thank God. I'm glad to come back. Well, let me give you the last thing. We are secured by the faithfulness of the Father. We're saved in the family of the Father. We can stand out of fellowship with the Father. We are secured by the faithfulness of the Father. Look at verse 15. But my mercy. He said, I'm going to chastise him. I'm going to whip him. I'll chastise him with the rod of men, stripes, the children of men, and so forth. God will definitely do that to us.
himself. But my mercy shall not depart away from him. Thank God. I'm glad this morning that what the Lord has given us is eternal. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, no never, ever, they shall never perish. What does folk have problem with the word never, eternal, shall never, never. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all.
Amen.
And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Oh, this thing is eternal. It's everlasting. If you're saved this morning, you say, that's a boastful statement. But if you're saved this morning, you're just as sure for heaven if you was already there. In the mind of God, in the eyes of God, we're already seated together with Christ in heavenly places. We're already just as sure to be there if all we was already there. Because this thing is eternal. We are secured. Gives us license to sin, though. It makes me want to sin less. To know what He's done for me. Not afraid that I'll lose my salvation, but I sure don't want to go under the chastising of God's hand. I want to serve Him because I love Him. And I wanted to do as that preacher preached last night, as this brother preached. I want Christ to have all of me. That's my heart's desire. That's my prayer. That He'll have every ounce. Every ounce of me. There's that old warfare. Thank God we can keep this old body under subjection. Paul said that's what he did. He buffeted. Bring it under subjection. And I'm glad God can take this old flesh. The devil can use to do bad things. God can take this old flesh and use it to bring glory to Him. My hands can help my neighbor. My eyes, I was born to serve the Lord. My eyes can read God's Word. My mouth can speak things to bring glory to Him.
Amen.
My heart's desire and my prayer, and I'm honest in this. My heart's desire and my prayer is that God will have every ounce of me. Completely. I want to serve Him greater in the latter days than I've ever served Him in the former days. I want to finish well, Brother Otis.
Amen.
And Brother Otis has been preaching about the same amount of time, not as old as Brother Otis, because I started a little younger. Both of us have been preaching, soon we'll be 53 years. Preaching the gospel. Not the greatest preacher in the world, I know that, but I love God.
Amen.
I have a heart for God. I thank God the day that I got saved got me out of the mess I was in. As a young teenager boy on my road going to as straight to hell as I could go. That one glorious Sunday morning.
Amen.
At the Apollo Knob Baptist Church in Big Hill, Kentucky. I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ.
It was
the greatest thing that ever happened
in
my life. I got born.
Yeah.
And to God's family.